I'm a veterinarian, sure, but I'm way more than that. I am also a tango dancer, a struggling but determined pie maker, and a mom. With IndieVets, I get to choose when and where I work. I create my own schedule and choose shifts at nearby animal hospitals that are right for me. Having that flexibility is exactly what I need to have plenty of time for all those other things that I am. Because I'm more than just a vet. Visit IndieVets.com to learn more and apply.
Welcome back to the IndieVets Happy Hour. I am your host, as usual, Andrew Heller, DVM. I'm with my co-host, Marissa Brunetti.
VMD.
She has to say that. Today, I'm going to tell you I'm very happy to introduce a very special guest who is also a DVM. Yes, my side.
A Rossi DVM, nonetheless.
A Rossi, just like me, exactly. Dr. Maria Batinas. And she's actually on our clinical leadership team here at IndieVets. And we're really thrilled to have her on. This is your first time on, Maria?
Yes.
Okay, she has podcast, or she did have her own podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I did have my own podcast.
Yeah, what was that about?
So it was three veterinarians, and we were at different parts of the country, and we just got together and talked about the different issues that are going on in the industry, tried to offer solutions. We did interviews, but COVID really
killed it.
You know, killed it.
Like it killed everybody. Okay. Well, yeah.
Speaking of COVID, I have COVID right now.
Which is why we're all apart today, unfortunately. Yes, and we're not drinking together. Alcohol. We're drinking tea, I'm assuming, right?
I'm drinking a lot of water, lots of fluids. So,
I was drinking tea out of a beer mug. So does that count?
Yeah,
totally does. That looks really creepy.
Excellent. And Maria, what are you drinking?
Water.
Water.
You live in Florida and you still sound like you're from Philly.
I, I'm, but I'm not from Philly.
So why do you say water?
I'm from Jersey.
I know, Jersey. but I feel like that's definitely a Philly thing. All right.
Philly, Jersey.
Yeah. All right. Well,
no,
Maria.
I'm from New York, Jersey.
New York.
That's true. But first, Maria, tell us about yourself first. How did you, where did you go to vet school? What did you do after vet school? How did you end up on this incredible team called IndieVets?
So I went to Ross University. I'm from Jersey, Woo! As we already established. Woo! But I went to Ross University. So I graduated in 2011. I went back to New Jersey for a few years, made a little bit of a trip out to Colorado, and eventually landed in Florida, which I'm super happy about because I'm kind of sick of the cold weather. I can't stand snow. And I don't shovel. So I am so happy.
And you love Disney World.
And I love Disney World. I'm a huge Disney fanatic. I grew up just idolizing everything about it. And I still do. So I joined IndieVets. I actually tried to join a couple years ago and I didn't. And I kind of regret it because I really love it. And then I joined in September because it was just the team, working with Marissa and Andrew on a different aspect and even dealing with the hospital success team. I really just liked how you guys worked really well together. Your doctors were always happy. They were super smart and the staff and even I loved them. So I just wanted to be a part of you guys.
Marissa, maybe we don't even have to put our ad in because I feel like that was a great ad.
You don't need an ad. You have
it. It's true. Well, better late than never. We love having you on the team and building our Florida team, which is awesome. And you can take Florida. I'll stay up here. That's fine.
I might come join you, Maria.
It's never a dull moment. Yeah. And that is what I love.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that today's episode, this is going to be more focused to doctors. We're talking about medical record keeping and efficiency day to day in the practice. And so I think vet techs might want to hear some of this stuff. Pet owners, probably check us out next week or check out some of our previous ones where it might be more interesting to you. But today we're gonna focus on that. And I know as IndieVets, we're all really focused on being efficient, writing excellent medical records. So Maria, you're here to talk about that.
I will also say, I think it's important for practice managers, medical directors, right? If you're looking for a way to make your staff more efficient or you're looking for ways to review medical records, this will be a great episode to listen to. We obviously, our doctors work in many different hospitals, and so they have to adjust very quickly and become efficient in lots of different scenarios. So this will be really helpful for managers who are trying to make their practice more streamlined.
Great.
Great.
So, Maria, let's start off with, you know, what are some of the ways to become efficient with medical records?
I think the biggest one is prioritizing your day, knowing when you should be writing your records versus when you should be socializing with the technicians versus taking the blood on that nasty cat. Once you start learning how to prioritize, you know, and delegate the things going on throughout the day, I think the medical records become less of a burden throughout the day. One of my biggest things that I tell even all my doctors and that I started doing a few years ago is pre-written notes. So I have all my SOAP templates. I have all my client communications that I usually routinely go through. Let's be honest, after you're out for so long, your like communication becomes routine and standard for most of the clients, for most of the cases. So I typically carry them around on a thumb drive. And just having them already there and copying, pasting them into the records helps tremendously.
So when you do that, does that mean that you'll have like a whole SOAP written on, you know, a skin infection or ear infection, something like that? You'll have it written already, your assessment plan, everything? Or
I basically have the objective. So I do a normal objective that I copy and paste into the records. And I do it prior to even going into the room. So that way, no matter what computer I'm at, I always can pull up that record. But I'll also have like a pre-written skin verbiage at the end for client communication that you can quickly go edit, or a pre-written vomiting or diarrhea case, or a pre-written normal like dental care, weight loss, vaccine reactions, stuff like that. And you can easily go copy and paste it. And then your editing is going to take a lot less than typing out like the 50 words that you're going to type out.
So for someone who's never done that before, would you say like go home and write them all beforehand? Or would you say write one, copy and paste it and put it in, and as you go, you can keep tweaking it? Which way would you prefer or recommend?
It's up to you. I did it both. So like I would come home some days and write it up. And then other days I would copy and paste it into a document. For an associate veterinarian, it's easier to type it up while you're at work. While you're writing it up, you just copy and paste it onto one document. For a relief veterinarian, for like with indie vets, it's a little bit more difficult because you're not an associate at the hospital. So you would have to have a dedicated computer, make sure they have Word, or you have to email it to yourself some way, or even put it on a thumb drive.
So when you say pre-written, you mean the pet checks in and then you dump your template into a med? Okay, right. So it's not like you're opening a medical record on a pet that never checked in. You're not like going through your day. You're waiting for them to check in, of course.
Yeah, because a lot of times in certain EMRs, when they're not checked in, they don't have a record open. And the other thing it can get a little bit confusing is if you dump it in prior to them coming in, and what happens if they cancel, the appointment goes away and you can't take it out.
Exactly. Awesome. So talk a little bit more about delegation. You mentioned that as another important way to be efficient.
I would say delegation is like the biggest thing of how I run my day. And that's why like I don't stay past like an hour or so past my time, because I delegate like 90% of my tasks. If I'm busy writing up a record, basically I'm asking the technician to go get the history. When I come out of a room, I'll ask the technician, can you go do the blood work? Can you go pull up the vaccines? Can you go get this heartworm test? Can you do the x-rays? I'm not doing it. And utilizing my staff has been extremely important, and it has helped me tremendously, even with my the mental load that you take on throughout the day. The other thing is, if I have a normal fecal, I'm not calling them back. You know, if it comes across my desk, I'll either hand it to the receptionist or the technician, whoever, whatever person in the hospital, say this is the person that will call back. And I'll give it to them to make the phone call. So I'm really only calling abnormals, or like even normal blood work, I'll call back if it was like there was a problem and I know that they're going to have more conversation behind it. But delegating the conversations like that is important. Throughout the day, I understand that even myself, I love doing tech work. I love pulling blood.
Me
I love
too.
Doing catheters, right? It's just something different and it's fun. But throughout the day, like that's not my job. That's not why I'm there. And sometimes I have to take a step back and be like, my technicians are efficient. They're great. They're wonderful. And they can do it. So I really have to, I mean, it's a struggle with myself too. I still have to push them to do it.
And what advice would you give a doctor who isn't used to delegating, right? Who may not be as direct Or you're an indie vet and it's your first time at a practice. You don't know everyone too much. Like, what sort of advice would you give to those two types of doctors about how to delegate, like what to say to your staff to get them on board with that?
So the first thing that I do when I go in, I talk to the technician that I'm going to be working with. And I ask them, what is your typical way of performing the day? And let them go through it. And then they'll ask me, a lot of times they ask me, what do I want to do? And I'm trying to keep it as efficient for them, because if they're used to something, I'll just let them deal, like I'll let them lead. But I'll just go, hey, I want to finish this record. Do you mind pulling the blood on the pet? And I think it's a way of delivery. If you just tell them you need to pull the blood or it's your job, it's not going to come across as, it's not going to come across well.
They won't want to help you then.
No. And you'll be like the evil vet that nobody wants to deal with, even though you're not.
Do you sort of set the groundwork and say, guys, I'd love it if you guys could do as much as possible that you feel comfortable doing, and anything else, let me know? Or do you kind of take it step by step?
I take it step by step.
Okay.
Because I understand, like, I have how I work every day set, but I also understand that things change. Like, things can go throughout the day that they might need my help more than I really like would like to give. And I'll just jump in and help, because in the end, like, it's everybody's there to do a job and get a job done. But I try not to just go in and be like, this is what I'm going to do. I go in and I take it case by case. Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you go do this? I'm going to go take care of this. And I let them know what I'm doing. I don't just leave. And I feel like a lot of times if you just leave, they're getting the idea that you're not doing anything, that you're just sitting around and that you're not helping them. But if you say, hey, I'm going to go catch up on notes, or I'm going to go catch up on callbacks, you let me know if you need me. If you're having trouble getting anything, I'll come back and help. And a lot of times they're like, oh, cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I agree. Communication is key, and being transparent. We talk about that all the time, like not assuming that people know what you're thinking, and telling them like where you're going to be in case they need you is really important. And I also think, you know, framing it as a question is also really great too. And gratitude. Gratitude is always necessary.
Yes. So, thank them. Thank you so much for doing that for me. Thank you so much for getting the x-rays. Thank you for getting the blood. And at the end of the day, thank them. I always go back to every person. I say, thank you so much. It was great today. I really appreciate it, because they don't get that all the time.
Yeah. I think we don't reward people enough for doing their job.
Right.
Some people assume like, oh, well, that's your job. You should just do it. But like, our job is hard. A technician's job is hard. A receptionist's job is hard. Like, these things are difficult. And I think thanking them is perfect. It's a great idea. I know you mentioned right off the bat prioritizing your day. Talk to me more about what that actually means for someone in the beginning of the day.
When I walk into the beginning of the day, my biggest thing is learning the clinic, learning the patients that are going to be coming in. So, you know, making sure you get to know everybody, asking about the EMR, and then going into each patient. And I'll quickly review each patient, see like if there's anything I need to keep out for. Is there something that's abnormal that I need to watch? Stuff like that. Because I feel that during the middle of the day, when you have like three pets back to back to back, you don't have time a lot of times to review the records. And at least if I have like a basis of it, I can go in and take care of it. So that's like the first thing that I want to do when I walk in the door. After that, it's really prior. What's going to be the best way for, and I know this sounds sometimes, I don't know, it might not sound good, but what's going to be the best way for me to get out on time? I have a life.
And your team. Yeah. I mean, like, it's the best way for all of us to get out on time.
Right. Like, it's not even just the doctor, it's the staff. Like, they shouldn't be there 2 hours past close. So what's going to be the most efficient way for me to get out on time? Look at the schedule, review the patients, and then really, hey, this vaccine's coming in. We know they're getting these vaccinations. Let's get them before they walk in, like they're in the room. Pull them in the room with them. And it's really trying to set things up prior to the pets coming in.
Awesome. All right. Just to recap, three top ways to become efficient: prioritizing your day, using pre-written templates, and delegate.
Can I just ask you one thing about that in general? So do you find that you finish your medical records before that pet is gone? Is that your goal? Or do you try
most of the time? Not all the time. I write the records throughout the appointment. So if the client if I recommended blood work and the client approved, I'll write everything and it says recommend blood work, owner approves.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's already
that's
there.
It. And then at that point, I don't have to go back and finish the objective. I don't have to go back and add the history or even write like the plan because it's already up to that point. Got the blood work back. The next step is blood work revealed, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Talk to the owner about this. Owner declined this. Owner approved this. Done. And that's it.
Great.
So moving on from the top three, how do you make sure that your records are complete and that you're not missing anything before you leave?
When you have an appointment and you're going through your records, you want to make sure that there's like a few things, maybe five different things you need completed in that record. You always need your vitals. You always need a good history. You need a good physical. You need some differentials and you need your communication. And I feel out of all that, I honestly feel the communication is the biggest part because if you mm-hmm. didn't write it, you didn't say it. Mm-hmm. So I have a checklist. Are my vitals there? Do I have my history? Do I have my objective? Are my differentials there? And is my communication there? And I just go through that list every single time. And at the end, sign the record. Because a lot of times when people open records, they open them under a different doctor or a technician by accident. It's not done purposely. So when you go into the record and you do your checklist at the bottom, just sign your name. That also tells you if you're like, I don't remember if I completed this one, you opened it and your signature's there, you can close it right up.
That's literally what I was just going to say. That's exactly what I do too. I like don't sign my name until I've done my checklist and then I sign my name and I know it's done. Even if I forget to like finalize the record, like then I know it's done. Great minds think alike. All right. Well, speaking of having a checklist, how do you make sure that your history actually gets in there and that it's complete? It's not just like vaccines.
Well, of course, I have a checklist for that. So you want to make sure you get a couple things. You always want to make sure you get the pet's nutrition. You always want to make sure you get the pet's preventative. And then I have like well versus sick. Like if it's a well vaccine, have they have a history of vaccine reactions? Do they have yearly blood work? And do they have heartworm prevention and heartworm testing? Which I'll be honest with you has been more important on my list since moving to Florida. But when, you know, in other places, it while it's important, it wasn't the most prioritizing mm-hmm. thing that I was thinking about. And then for sick, like duration of signs, is it better, worse than the same? And I love asking that question to clients. Is it better, worse, or the same for when you first noticed it? Because I feel like it just leads into more questions. So I'm very much like, that's the basis of my history. And then I go from there, depending on their answers. I think the good history is when you're actively listening to the client, because when you're actively listening to the client, that's when you get the better history, because you're going to ask the further questions. I feel like if I just go in there and I have my tech ask like five questions, they're going to walk out and be like, here you go. You know, and they're like, not everybody's listening to them. So you really mm-hmm. need to listen to the client. And when you're doing it, if you're in a room with a computer, type the answers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do not wait to go into the back, because if you don't type your answers right there, you're going to miss it. And if there's no computer, get a piece of paper and write it down. And then mm-hmm. you can go back and type it up real quick. But it's definitely important. Those are my big ones that I'll hit on.
I completely agree. I love it. So this is maybe a controversial topic, but I do sometimes think that getting my own history and like never sending the tech in sometimes is much more efficient. Like if your tech is doing something else for you, like do you ever recommend like you just jumping in to like get your own history and just do your whole exam while you're doing the history for efficiency?
It's all about reading the room.
Yeah.
How the technicians operate normally and helping them become more efficient, I would say. If they're getting stressed out going into rooms and getting the history coming out, it's not complete, just go in the room with them. It's not like you're going to get a better history. Not to say that technicians don't get a good history, but we have so many more questions that we typically want to ask mm-hmm. when they answer them. And honestly, clients will sometimes give the technicians one history and then give us something completely different. Yeah. So I play it by ear with everything. Like if I'll go in and the text, I'm doing something, if I want to finish my last note, go get a basic history and then bring it back. They'll come, they'll brief me, they answered some of the questions I need, but then I'll go back in and finish it. And sometimes you'll get different like statements and then you just question them.
Yeah, I noticed that you want to know like the duration of signs. And sometimes the text will come out and say, yeah, it started 3 days ago. And then you go in, you say, so it started 3 days ago. And they go, actually, it's been more like 7 days. In fact, it's been more like 10 days. And then you're like,
it's okay, been
six so it is always good to know. I agree that it's good to like almost get the questions answered twice, because sometimes you get different answers, you know, when you ask versus when the tech asks.
And it's also a different way of asking. So even when I'm taking history, I ask the same questions and I'll try to word it in a different way to try to get the different or the same answer from the client. It's just like if you ask me a question, you know, I'll answer it, but you ask it in a different way. And the answer may be different, not purposely, but it's just how they're perceiving the question. So you'll get more information.
Good point.
I mean, history is the biggest part of the exam.
Right.
Or the whole case, I feel like.
The case, yeah. I agree. So what did we miss? Like, are there any other tips that you have for medical record keeping efficiency and also ass covering?
If it isn't written, it never happened. So you, like, if you're having somebody review records and you're like, but I talked to them about weight loss, but it's not written down, you never talk to them, even if you had the conversation. It is not there. So I think the biggest things is to make sure, like, you have to learn how to delegate and you have to be comfortable with it. There's a way to ask and, you know, you're delegating, but it doesn't seem like you're not handing stuff off, but you're asking them, you're being appreciative, you're being thankful, you know, pre-writing your SOAPs and communication, you know, getting your checklists in order on making sure your history is complete, making sure your medical records are complete, getting all of that taken care of, and just writing it as it happens. Do not leave it till the end of the day. Write it as it happens. And I know we all socialize at work. We all talk, we all like laugh and have a good time, but make sure that you're really, if you have records to do, get them done, because we all want a work-life balance. And those technicians are going to end up having to stay late also, at least one of them, to help you finish your records.
Yeah. Great points. This is awesome.
Wait, did we talk about discharge instructions? Do you guys do them? Do you not do them? Do you use them as a templated item as well?
It depends. So some hospitals have them, you know, just generally. But I sent home a lot of stuff from Veterinary Partner. And especially for like the fluted cats are my big one. I have my own written diabetes one that I'll send home. You know, I do send stuff home, but it's already from either a reputable source or it's stuff that I have compiled together from reputable sources. So it's definitely something that's readily available. And everybody, not everybody, but most of the hospitals have computers with internet and you can pull it up and quickly print stuff out. But I use a lot of my handouts from Veterinary Partner. Now, if you send something home, you should document it.
You have to write that you sent it home.
Because if you don't document it, you never sent it home.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an indie vet, too, it's nice to let the other doctors know what you sent them home with as well, so that they don't have to go through the whole spiel again. Let's say you've already sent them with something about hyperthyroidism and, you know, the blood work comes back to confirm what you already kind of knew and they don't have to explain it all again.
Yep. Yeah. I will say with sending stuff home is something that I do that's just nice for the clients is I highlight the big points. Because the clients will read a lot of this stuff and it's, you know, it's overwhelming. Their pet just came in. You had this serious talk with them. They have no idea what you said because they're all upset about their pet. You send this paperwork home. It's like 5 pages. You don't like, it's so stressful. So highlighting the big points, and that way they can just breeze through it. And then when everything's like calm and, you know, they processed it, they can go back and finish reading it.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point too, is knowing for efficiency, is knowing how much information to give a client all at one time. As I became a more mature veterinarian, I realized that like derm cases, for example, like first time you're working up a derm case, like you don't have to word vomit all of that out to the client, right? You give them some handouts, you say you were doing some blood work. I'll call you in 2 days. Someone will call you in 2 days. Answer any questions you have about this handout I'm giving you, right? And then we'll talk about the next step at the recheck. You don't have to spill it all out at one time. You have to know. And this comes obviously with experience, but I think knowing when to shut up is actually really, really good for your efficiency. And I will say I'm Italian, so I don't really have that knowing when to shut up. It took me a long time, but I think that that helps your efficiency as well.
I don't know when to shut up sometimes, Marissa. It's okay.
You're Italian as well. That's why. For the practice managers out there or doctors that are associates in hospitals with new EMRs, there's always more to use your EMR for. So like, for example, I love Cornerstone, and there you can actually like have notes that pop up on their invoice. You can have an entire glossary of things that your doctors are always talking about. Like, these are the supplements I recommend for osteoarthritis. These are the supplements I recommend for skin. And you can do shortcuts to all these things for your doctors so they don't have to write it down again. It's right in there. And I think every EMR that's fairly new has an option where you can have a glossary or a library of things or shortcut keys. So I would really encourage taking some extra time if you're a manager or you're managing doctor to get those all in line, because yes, it's a little bit of work in the beginning, but it's amazing when you actually have them all working.
Well, and like I said, you can also build it as you go. So every time you see a case that's new, you write it and then say, let's save parts of this for future if I ever see a case like this again.
All right, what did we miss, Maria? I think we hit all the...
I think we hit the...
short and sweet topic.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Well, thank you so much, Maria, for being here today with us. It's been a lot of fun talking about efficiency and medical record keeping. Make sure to tell your friends. And if you all like us, leave us a 5-star review and make sure to subscribe so you can be alerted whenever we have a new episode. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, you can email us at clinical@indievets.com. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.